Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. I am your eponymous hero.
Do you like being eponymous?
I like. Oh, it's quite nice being eponymous. Do you resent not being eponymous?
Not really.
No, would you like it? Okay, for 1 week only. If you want, I'll say that again. This time you go with the woodman, okay. Or whatever you like. You just add a flourish. Here we go, Gav. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast,
featuring Gavin Woods.
I'd like with.
No, I want it to be featured.
Okay, featuring. I thought you were going to really do it and go, starring Gavin Woods. Anyway, this week, more mythical madness floating to the top of your favourite Scottish lock. I'm not going to say which one, but it's the only one you know the name of.
Yeah.
Apart from Lomond. It's not the Lomond monster.
No, it isn't.
I've got one of the most stunning things I've ever read in a bird-related story. And we'll be opening the doors to the Department of Petty Rage. Haven't done so for ages. To meet Luke, who hates something so much, he's willing to even take down nuns. It was a great week on the 4 till 7 thing. Here's the highlights. Enjoy.
Radio X.
What I do is an art. Yeah?
Sure.
No, that's not worthy of a sure.
Sure.
That
it
is,
sure
no,
is.
No, you can't believe you shored me up for that.
Sure.
Maybe I could have got a yeah. But that wasn't sure.
So you're saying you're an artist?
Yeah, I'm an artist, right? Yes, I'm an artist.
I see you as an artist.
No, I've got trainers.
That's true, yeah.
Everything. They're
that's
white and really
yeah.
clean.
You've been in clean. You've been in an Addison Lee cab.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, but no, I'm just saying, I'm an artist.
Yeah, I believe you.
I've got sunglasses way too big for me. They're ridiculous. I'm an artist.
Sure.
You are, yeah.
I live in South London.
You got wireless headphones?
Yeah.
They don't stay in my ears because they're too small, unfortunately. I can't risk that. In fact...
The AirPod hasn't been invented.
A weird thing happened with my AirPods last night. I was listening to music, and then I couldn't work out why suddenly the music was just coming out of my phone.
Mm.
And I realised because the AirPods had dropped out of my ears.
They just fell out.
Yeah, so they make so little impact on them when they're in there. I can't even tell whether they're in or out. I had found them on the floor. No, it's really weird. I was thinking, this isn't the sound I was just enjoying. And then there they were on the floor by the biscuit tin.
Did you step on one of them?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Look, guys, guys. Firstly, Sunta, did you have a nice weekend?
I did, thank
Gavin,
you.
Gavin, did you have a nice weekend?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Sunta, anything of note this weekend?
I went to Secret Cinema, Casino Royale, and it was epic.
Oh, is that brilliant?
It was brilliant.
Do you know what? They've got Thunderball on at the cinema just down there. Not as a secret cinema, just as a big screen experience.
Lovely
and I was
one.
Thinking, no, it got me thinking. We're going around the house a bit, which will annoy Big Simon, but yes. It's all one discussion, I said, trying to sell him the idea. but I think there should be a James Bond cinema in London.
There
always
should.
Always playing Bond.
Just playing Bond.
There should.
That's a great idea.
Because I think people haven't seen the early Bond films, and admittedly, they are rubbish.
but then at least you get to see that rubbish on a big screen.
On a big screen, yeah. I mean, what they should do is give some of the things a bit of the Jabba the Hutt treatment. For instance, that fire-breathing metal thing in...
Yes, what film is that?
Goldfinger. No,
Doctor
the one
no.
of the... Doctor No.
Doctor No,
they
yeah.
should definitely do that because that's like K-9 from Doctor Who years ago.
Yeah, also the aerial battle in... I think it's Thunderball.
Yes.
When he's got Little Nell, the gyrocopter.
Yeah.
There's a couple of really fake crashes in that scene. Yeah,
where they just sort of, it's just sort of fire.
On its own.
But they,
it's a great idea.
But they should just have a James Bond cinema and you can buy memorabilia in there.
Mm. It's a great idea.
Look, it earns enormous amounts of money, and it's as iconic for London as half the rubbish you see in the souvenir
shop. They could sell gadgets next to the
They could sell the gadgets and the things, and like a Lego store is in the square, Leicester Square, we've got a Lego store, which is really popular. In fact, Lego could make the stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head here.
Lotus could get involved.
Yeah, Lotus.
Aston Martin.
Sure. I'd really like that. I think it'd be a really good thing.
Look, I'd love that.
They shut cinemas down all the time here.
They do,
or if they do, they open them up as, you know, I don't know, some kind of multi-screen thing. But if they get one of those ones that's like a nice old, just a single screener.
Mm.
And it could be a casino as well.
Oh, and, after
and,
dark.
And,
yeah.
And you should be able to smoke Sobranis in there.
That's right. And you have to change your money.
And it serves martinis.
Into millions.
So basically that's what I did at the weekend. No, I went to Secret Cinema's Casino Royale, which is when I went to a casino and drank martinis and did all those things and was in the what you're just
which
talking
is
about.
Where the discussion started, which wow. means that is one subject, one link, which
my mind is
one.
Blown.
Normally I do that. Big Si is happy. And the circle is complete.
Well done, everyone.
Well done. Well done to us.
Thank you so much.
Dream team.
Dream yeah. team.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
The Scots, they're having to... it's a rearguard action up at Loch Ness.
What do you think they're fighting? What's going on?
Okay, well, a while ago, Gav, nice bogus innocence. I really like that. It's the secret of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
It really, you even had raised eyebrows.
I did,
which
yeah.
is how you should always start telling a joke, incidentally. If you start to tell a joke, palms faced upwards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Eyebrows up. So you go...
As if it's a question.
So, guy goes into a bar. I don't know how it's going to end. Haven't got a clue. I literally don't know the punchline.
Oh, innocence.
Yes, bogus innocence.
Excellent.
Leslie Nielsen, the king of bogus innocence.
Right, yeah.
If you look at all good comedians...
Yeah, he's brilliant
they
at
can
it,
do
yeah.
it again. It's why Eddie Izzard was so good, because he always looks like, I've never done this routine before.
And it is actually scripted. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Even the ones he puts down to that heckler, you think you can't... And you realise there wasn't even a heckle. They just make out there is.
Yeah, he just took it off the wall. Yeah.
Genius. Anyway. But that was good bogus innocence for you. What are they saying, John? I don't know, because I don't know.
What are we chatting about
despite
here?
Despite the fact you found this item for
I
me.
Did, yeah.
And actually, yeah, that's what makes it even better.
Doesn't mean I read it.
Yeah, very good point. Anyway, Gav.
Go on.
A while ago, there was that guy who gave up. He's after 25 years, he's left Loch Ness. He says, no, there just isn't one.
There's no monster.
There is no monster. I've been saying
really
it for you.
Put a lot into trying to find it.
Yeah, he really did, yeah.
25 years.
And they've got the tech.
Yeah.
They've definitely got the tech. We're looking yeah. at the other side of Venus at the moment.
I mean, yeah, like, a bit of me just says, just drain it.
Yeah, just drain it.
Drain it and be done. Build another identical lock next door.
Tourists turning up.
Yeah,
yes, this is where it was.
Yes,
now it's gone.
Just a bed of old carp and dead
and
tench.
And lies.
Pike and old seaweed sticking there. No, are you satisfied now? They'd probably still say, no, but it could have been hiding in a cave. Oh, a wee true. Cave unseen. Anyway, the point is that obviously tourism's been hit. So are you ready for this? Sightings of the Loch Ness Monster during 2019 are the highest recorded this century.
No.
Funny. Funny, because that guy just naffed off because he said in the do you know what I was going to say? He said in the camcorder age. Yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, these days everyone's got a camcorder,
yeah,
haven't they?
They have.
Yeah,
they
we've
have.
All got camcorders.
I've got a camcorder on my phone.
I've got one that fits
everywhere.
On my shoulder.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mind you, the battery pack gets really heavy after about 10 paces.
On my camcorder, it's really what's really nice is they've made the bit that holds the tape, you know, in the separate box.
Oh, yeah.
So much smaller.
Have they?
Yes.
Wow.
It's brilliant. I mean, literally, the thing there now is almost just like the lens and everything. Okay, Gavin.
Unbelievable.
Sightings of the Loch Ness Monster during 2019 are the highest recorded this century. I simply, it just means they're doing it.
Yeah.
They are certainly doing it. Because yeah. this guy, he...
He gave it everything.
He Gav.
He left it all out there
Gav,
on the lake.
Gav, he gave 110.
He did.
You're right, he left it. He was committed.
He wasn't messing around.
He left it all out there on the lot.
Unless what? Nessie's got a really good sense of humour.
Yes.
Long-term
good point,
planning.
No,
waited
no,
for
no,
him
well,
to
avoided
go
him.
Before popping
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. No. Are you saying that's your impression of Loch Ness Monster, is it?
What, no, Nessie's a pirate?
It'd be really nice if Loch Ness Monster did when it appeared. Suddenly appear out of the water and went...
Aha! Boo! The aha that was heard all around the world.
Oh, I wish there was an animal that surprised people and did go boo.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
There probably is. I'll find one for Thursday.
Okay, do yeah. find one.
The boo, whatever.
That'd be fantastic,
yeah.
especially as Loch Ness Monster went boo.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is claimed the mythical creature. No, it's not a mythical creature. It's non-existent. And I know that it means the same as mythical, but mythical still gives it a slight chance.
It gives it a tinge of possibility, yeah.
It's been seen 11 times this year. No.
No, it hasn't.
It hasn't.
No, 11 people have said they've yeah. seen it this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, you look at a lot of those Black Panther sightings they see round the various moors and Peak District.
Yeah.
And honestly, well, it was about the size of an Alsatian. Because it was an Alsatian. Yes, yes. Which doesn't surprise me. It was like a black Labrador, except what? Except to work for the tourist board.
I've never seen a cat wagging its tail so much.
Well, I knew this cat went straight for the dog food.
Wagging away.
I knew it when we came in as a big bag of win-a-lot. It gone right through.
There were two of them smelling each other's tails.
One weird collar and a lead,
and it kept barking, which I thought was strange for a cat.
Anyway, it is claimed the mythical creature. Do you know what? I haven't got to paragraph two. And bear in mind, paragraph one was merely sightings of the Loch Ness Monster during 2019 of the highest recorded this century. That's yep. paragraph one.
Wow.
Anyway, it is claimed the mythical creature has been seen 11 times this year, three more than the previous record of eight.
Wow. They're upping their game, yeah.
But Richard Cobb of Bradford said he stared at it for about a minute.
What?
Yeah.
What? No. Why?
It doesn't say what it is. Great. But he said he stared at it.
It was a bit of branch in the water.
Yeah, it doesn't say. He stared. And I stood there. He's from Bradford. And it was like dead fast in that. And I just stood there staring at it. And then it sank back into the water like a log shaped like...
Stonehenge, the ball is in your court.
Yeah, it's back to Stonehenge, fighting for the mythical money, the mythical pound.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, you're not going to take that, are you, Stonehenge?
Well, Gav, last Thursday, 12 days, a Tracy Porter photographed it.
Whoa.
Let's see if we go online and have a look at that. I'm interested to see what that one is.
Radio X.
Gav, you ever thought about going on a cruise? By that, I don't mean at night.
No, I don't like the idea of a ship cruise.
Why not?
Never been tempted.
Do you know some pensioners now we've discussed it before, but they just don't leave the cruises.
Yeah, I didn't believe that.
It's true.
We were
talking
about it last week, weren't we?
They stay on
the boat, they rent their home out, and they stay on the waves.
Because there's doctors on board and stuff like that, so it's everything you need. You only got, 1,500 people with one doctor?
Yeah.
I mean, NHS, I think it's one doctor for every 4 million people, something like that.
It's a different ratio, isn't
it? Very different ratio, Gav. But... I've never particularly been tempted. I like to, if I'm on the oceans, I mean, you know, I'm a seafarer.
Sure.
I like to be under my own canvas, as it were.
I like to
be at the helm. I would hate to be on any of these and think I could do a better job than this.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You definitely don't want to do that.
No,
I did consider once trying to get a gig when I was trying to be a musician for a living. In a cruise band.
Oh, for God's sake, Gavin. But, and that's the end.
No, because I heard that the money was all right.
No, but Gavin, no one wants that on their CV.
No, well, in the end, I thought, I'm not even going to apply.
No, that's the end.
I might as well be, you know.
That's a cul-de-sac from which there is no three-point turnout.
Correct, yeah.
You simply can't get out. Incidentally, once I was watching Jeff when I had an alley. I told you this before.
Your bulldog, yeah.
Jeff, my bulldog. I've got an alleyway by the side of my old house and where the bins were.
Yeah.
And... Jeff can't do a U-turn in that. And I was watching from above, like two stories up. And I looked down, and he did a three-point turn.
No way. I
so wish I'd filmed it. Yeah, he backed up, went up. I'm thinking, wow.
I mean, he's a bulldog, not a great day.
Who'd have known a three-point turn occurs in nature? Anyway, I've never been tempted to go on a cruise, but recently... P&O has really hit on a great new sort of advertising campaign.
Yeah.
Because... Listen to this. Fears over P&O's 15 drinks offer after brawl on...
What, now everyone knows about this offer?
Yeah, this offer. I mean, how to get it published? Right,
clowns and things.
Right, yeah. A YouTuber and boxing enthusiast was one of two people arrested after a mass brawl on a luxury cruise liner. You read about this, didn't you?
Yeah.
But what a great way to sort of get publicity.
Brilliant.
Maybe it was the quality of food they'd overstuffed with.
They said they were enjoying themselves too much.
Much too much. We'd just come out of the cinema down there after a Star Wars all day extravaganza.
Which was free.
Yes. And just before we went to see the great live act in the luxury ballroom, we thought we'd stop for some free cocktails.
Yeah.
A tinderbox for, yeah, right.
And it was a 15 drinks free offer as well. They really were planning on having a drinker.
If you're having a 15 drinks free offer, then I don't want to use the phrase, and you're out at sea where there's no police. Frankly.
You're asking for
You're
trouble,
on your own. Who does that responsibly?
No one does that responsibly.
You aren't drinking a lot,
because I presume that's per passenger.
Yes. You aren't drinking a lot, lads.
Yeah, 15 for me too, please.
I'll drink it 15 tonight, lads.
What would you like for your drinks?
No, but listen.
15 Scotches.
Okay, you imagine Lanzarote or Tenerife, and someone's going there, yeah, I'll tell you something, lads. Why, what are you offering? 15 free drinks at this place.
Yeah, that's quite an offer.
You wouldn't get in it.
Stampede, yeah.
You would, literally, it's a good job there at sea.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can, let me see. Well, put it this way, you put that in Wetherspoons in Rochester, but they'd be driving from London.
Yeah, they will, yeah.
They'd be coming down from Newcastle.
They really
get
would.
Get this. From January, P&O passengers have been able to buy a 40 quid a day ultimate drinks package. That's 15 drinks, including spirits. And that's from 6 a.m.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero today. Absolutely no exception. Except that it's a crazy lame creature day, as it always is on a Thursday. We've had a Mangalica sheep pig, a dragon chicken, which is, he only puts in because he knows I find his legs disgusting. A doorhead ant, which I love. And, of course, the executioner wasp. Yeah. Something they'd all like to be, incidentally.
Absolutely.
This week, Gav, you promised us a crazy fish with a crazy name. Go on.
Okay, so the hero today, Johnny, is the umbrella-mouthed gulper eel.
Nice.
Otherwise,
oh, that's a beauty.
Otherwise also known as the pelican eel.
Right.
It's a deep-sea fish. It lives between 1,600 and 9,800 feet deep. Wow. Only stays in that bit.
I wish... Do you know what I wish, Gav?
What?
I wish Trump lived there.
So do I. It grows to 2.5 foot long. It's black or olive-coloured fish with a huge mouth and long, thin, whip-like tail with a glowing pink lure at the end of the tail.
Nice.
Made of little tentacles.
Right.
It glows pink with the occasional red flash, a bit like a plane coming into land.
Right, okay,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. I've seen lights.
They prey on crabs, squid, small fish, but its jaws are massive.
Are they?
They can swallow prey bigger than them. Not bigger than their own head, bigger than the whole
fish. I'd like
fish.
To see that. Again, I always think Trump could do that.
That's true. The jaw can unhinge and the stomach can expand. It has tiny teeth, though.
Again, he can do that.
They have tiny teeth, which implies it doesn't actually swallow animals bigger than itself, but what it does is it gulps a load of shrimp in, like a whale does.
Yeah, nice.
They've never been observed in the wild because they live so deep, but they have been caught with fishing nets. Here's a picture of one. I'm just showing Johnny
some of
a
the
picture.
Things that, some of the things that... Oh, that's just...
Have a look at that.
He's
you can
disgusting.
See why it's called the gulper eel.
He's disgusting.
The mouth has got hundreds of little tiny teeth.
That's insane.
They've got useless little eyes.
I tell you what it's like. It's like, imagine an iron.
Yes.
Are you ironing?
That's a great description.
And imagine you could just open an iron up like a mouth.
Yes, effectively. With a very thin tail coming off the back.
Yeah, it's just like an iron.
With the cord.
But you can just, with the cord. That's how thin the body is. The body's like a cord. It's in fact just like an iron.
It really is, yeah.
I can't break it down for you anymore, except the metal bit on the bottom. Imagine that just hinges open.
That's right. They've never observed it hunting because when fish have these glowing lures like that, they usually come off their forehead or something so they can bite their prey.
Yeah.
So this fish must have some kind of crazy kung fu move to get the tail in front of its mouth before it gulps whoever it's lured in.
It looks like something that the US military would probably take a good look at due to some of the things it utilizes at depth.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Even just the size of its face alone deserves a salute.
It really does. Gav, that is another horrendous and crazily named creature.
The umbrella mouth eel.
Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7 thing. My God, we salute you.
At the Bank of Antandek, they're looking for a mascot.
We need an icon. Something that says high flying to all our mortgage customers.
Like a falcon. Or a stallion.
Or even better, a parrot. Check it out.
Meanwhile, at Santander, they're concentrating on helping customers find ways to take years off their mortgage with their overpayment calculator. See what's possible at Santander.
All applications are subject to status and our lending criteria. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
This
is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Today, I've just read a story in the papers, right? It says, if most people can't agree on whether Mona Lisa's enigmatic expression means she's happy or sad, it may be a source of alarm. There are plans to use machines to infer emotions from human faces.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I say this, right? I want you to hold that thought.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Machines to read emotions. Because what's weird is there are 7.7 billion sentient, intelligent life forms on this earth pretty well that can do that.
Yes.
We don't need a machine to do it. But you see, what they do is they think... They look at everything humans can do and they think, right, let's let a machine do it. Mm. What they don't do ever is sort of think, what's exclusively human?
Yeah.
What other things can we give it, given that humans are much better than any machine, rather than just always looking within the human domain?
Yeah.
Let's like up it a bit. Rather than just sort of think what we can do either as an animal or a machine, like monkey stuff or machine stuff, actually, what are the things that only humans can do? I say this because last night, Jeff, my bulldog, is driving me mad. I mean, he drove me mad. Oh, wow. I haven't slept too much because it was a hot night. I had the aircon on, which is annoying because I've now had it on so much, it's developed a little bit of a rattle. You know, for overuse. It's a bit like being in a sort of hotel in the 80s in Spain.
So you've had it on high setting you think, for a few days. Yeah.
Do we stay cold or just... We can stay cold and awake or hot and asleep. Try and sleep. Anyway, so Jeff, I have been allowing him onto the bed. Yeah, I've closed the... As you know, I use the bench at the end of the bed. I open that up to create a ha-ha.
A ditch, yeah.
Which he'll fall into. So he can't use it as a step onto the bed. Yes, yeah. But what he's done is he actually pushed. I've got an ottoman in there as well, which I use just for dressing, and which he's now pushed up.
Right.
And when he did sort of push it up to give himself a little stepping stone.
No.
Yes, to get further purchase onto the ottoman. Anyway, what he's done is, and it's quite a complicated process, but he's got on the bed. I've allowed him on the bed because then he gets more flow through. From the air conditioning.
Oh, you can feel it.
It's higher.
Yeah, yeah.
It's higher.
Okay.
Now, I've got the mat on the floor that we bought last week, which is fantastic.
The cold mat.
The cold mat, which is brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant. But it is so noisy when he's nesting. You know, he does that thing where he has to get his things because he's used to having quite light blankets to nest for hours. But the sound of this thing is like someone wrestling a tarpaulin. I'm not kidding. It's... Honestly, it's like tarpaulin fighting. It goes off around like, Jesus, Jeffrey, just settle down. This has been hours. And also it makes a sort of, you know, like when you put your fist in slime, that kid's thing, and it makes that sort of
suction noise. Yeah.
That's what the gel does.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like someone.
It's really distracting.
With bilious. Having a bilious attack while wrestling tarpaulin. It sounds disgusting. In fact.
Sounds like he's at a potter's wheel.
Well, no, it sounds like Godzilla's got the runs down there. Anyway, it really does. It sort of looks like
that
it.
That would drive me nuts.
Anyway, well, it does. Yeah. Godzilla with the runs is no one's. Yeah, yeah. That's no one's friend.
No.
Anyway.
That's no walk in the park.
So Jeff's got on the bed, and that's fine. I'm cool with that. Mm. Yeah, he's been doing that. But I've sort of had enough because he is keeping me awake.
Yeah.
He really, because he moves around on the bed a lot. So I put him down on his cool mat and sort of forgot that for Jeff, he gets routines very quickly. Like, if he does it once, that's now a routine.
Okay. Right.
That's now the norm.
Yeah, he every day from now on.
He hasn't developed the if you're good treat mindset, you know? That kind of Boolean if X, then Y. If it's very hot.
Did you?
And occasionally.
Yeah,
then,
did you give him a piece of steak once and now he thinks that's today every
Don't
day?
Don't even talk to me about the beef problems this week. I kept it in a Tupperware thing to help him with these pills he's got for his shoulders.
And it still sent him wild.
But he won't take the pills now unless they've got a piece of lovely roast beef around them. But Gav, that's another story.
All right.
So Jeffrey's a bulldog. He gets very hot. And as you know, dogs can only lose heat through their paws. And through their tongue. So these have got to be... Anyway, so last night he's on his gel mat, which he's wrestled into some sort of position that's exactly as it was at the start, but took a lot of effort getting it there. and he just started... He just makes this sort of Chewbacca-y noise. I'll record it tonight so you can actually hear this noise, because he sort of shapes his lips like a little trumpet and sort of goes...
What, just as he's trying to get comfy?
No, he just looks at me and does this. I'm thinking, why is he doing this? We've been out for walkies. He has eaten.
You went out two or three times.
Yes, so two in the morning. He won't stop barking. I take him now. Get up there again, yeah? I'm trying to sleep, and then... And he just starts going mad. In fact, that's really good. I'm surprised at that. That's such a good impression. Anyway, so as I've taken down again, it's 4 a.m, yeah? And then it's happened again at 7. And honestly, I'm so tired. And so at 7, I just thought, And we go in, then he goes, he's just sort of looking at me. And I go, do you know what? So he's close to hand. I'll put him on the bed. He's got on the bed, and he's just rolled straight on his back. He's just, I think, That's what he was doing. He was trying to tell me he wants to come on the bed.
Yeah.
Because I've done it a few times. I've done it a few times. That's now a rule.
I didn't even want to go out.
Right. So, scientists frown at technology's ability to read expressions. Let's have one that reads dog expressions and acknowledges behaviour.
Be genius.
Yes. We can do it with humans. We can all do that. But if I'd known that Jeff does this specific set of things...
For bed.
Yeah. Then we'd start to understand our dogs.
Radio X.
Seagulls, the aerial menace, continue their reign of terror. Sunta, do you have your update, please?
Boozy seagulls have been spotted falling off rooftops, stumbling around and even vomiting on people
after
drinking the dregs of pint glasses.
My God.
Fiona Heath from Glasgow in Scotland was gutted when a gull pinched her wine, writing on Twitter, "A seagull just came and drank my wine and knocked over my wine glass."
Unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
The nerve.
Funeral march.
Do you know there's been a fourfold increase in gulls in the last 20 years?
Has there?
Fourfold.
I know, because they need culling. Sons, I know you've got to be neutral on news matters, but where do you stand on cull the gull?
Don't come near my wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Simple as that.
I mean, you're a vegan and you really care about animals, but anything gets between you and the booze.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, they better come with it. You know what I mean? They better
bring if they're going to flex
that. They better bring. They better come with it.
Yeah.
Sons, in that report, I did have a look at it, and they were saying that the local police were saying sometimes you get gulls that stink of booze.
It's a dreadful trend.
They actually stink of booze.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you can smell it on their breath when gulls come in and take people's chips. Now, imagine that. A gull's come in to take your chips.
And they smell of booze.
And its breath stinks of booze.
Really argumentative.
Gav, what have you got for this? Is all your latest seagull stories. Gav, what have you got?
A pensioner was chased and attacked by a ferocious seagull who, quote, split his skull before holding him hostage in his own home for a week.
No!
In Morecambe Bay, yeah. Mr. Pickard, 77, said he was savaged just 5 yards from his front door. "I got struck on the back of the head by a fully grown gull, which brought blood to my head. Mr. Pickard required hospital treatment for the cuts and said he was trapped at home by the same gull for 6 days.
Wow.
He just lurked on a roof staring at him.
But Gav, at what point? I mean, okay, let's put it this way, yeah? How come pheasants, you can pretty well, honestly, I mean, I'm allowed to kill a pheasant with a putter just about, as long as I'm in season on the golf course. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
I could do it. I mean, you get these people shooting, like Ian Botham, yeah? Mm. Or Guy Ritchie, he kills a lot.
Yeah.
And they've got, I think it's not the biggest shoot in the country, but they'll do like literally 1,500 pheasants in a day that are harmless, Gav.
Yeah, crazy, crazy.
Or as long as...
I've never had a pheasant take a chip off me.
No, never. No, you won't.
Not once.
You won't get that, Gav.
No, they don't do that.
And yet still...
They've got manners.
And the difference is you can eat them.
Yeah.
It just takes that first, I don't know if there's the lads at one of those like Tennessee Fried Chicken... You know, there are those cheaper chicken outlets that perhaps, I don't know, just go...
KFG.
Yeah.
No queues outside KFG today.
You know, it wouldn't be that. Well, unless we can rapidly think of a seaside town starting in K.
Yeah.
Well,
Morecambe.
That doesn't start with K, though,
Gav. No, it doesn't.
Which is unfortunate for you.
It is, yeah.
Is Kendall by the seat? No. Oh, God.
We'll Sunta, think of one.
K, 83936, a seaside town starting with K.
Don't know.
St Kilda.
Yeah.
St
Fried Gold.
St KFC.
Kesingland. Just south of Lowestoft.
There you go.
Just south of Lowestoft.
KFG.
I think there's a Butlins there.
You'll find us in the phone book.
What have you got?
Here's my seagull news. Experts have revealed that rising temperatures are causing seagulls to turn to cannibalism. Gobbling up their own young and swallowing them whole.
Disgusting.
British seagulls have been spotted munching on live pigeons, starlings. And get this, there's a pigeon, and you can see photos of this today in the news, eating a rabbit. This is getting so bad, guys. Yeah. It's almost like portents of the end of the world when the gull eats the rabbit. Do you know what I mean?
It really does. It's like the end of days. What kind of monsters are these?
Recently, a gull was seen brutally grabbing a pigeon in Bristol, the latest in a spate of gull-on-bird attacks up and down the country. That's gull-on-bird.
Unbelievable.
And last month, would you believe, a cannibal seagull, this is the worst thing of all, are you ready? Was feasting on another gull's corpse.
No.
In Devon.
Unbelievable.
I thought the drums came in there, actually. I don't really know my way around Wagner that well. A bit young for it still. For me, he's always been, like, as I say, like Tolkien on ice. If you can imagine something as horrendous as that. But please, keep an eye out on all the latest developments in the world of gull. Can you imagine that, though, Gav? A seagull feeding on another gull's corpse. Probably a relative.
It's disgusting. In Cardiff, there are over 3,000 breeding pairs, and postmen in Cardiff are warning they may not be able to deliver the mail.
It's affecting... Hey, wait a second. No. This could be... If they affect Royal Mail, I'm sure arcane law comes into play.
Yes.
Isn't it like you start messing with the mail?
Gulling is just legal.
Because I think Her Majesty's Prison Service, every year... pays a fine, weirdly, to itself at the Home Office
because
they open prisoners' mail, which is illegal.
Yes, technically it's illegal.
Yes, they have to pay themselves a fine for doing that. One of those ridiculous ways. I think they also pay a fine for using razor wire, which is illegal under EU law.
Yeah.
But everyone who uses it has to pay a fine. But how about that, guys?
It's getting ugly out there.
It's getting ugly. So if postmen in Wales are being threatened, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Soon we could be out there with our gull guns.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
It is a massive day today. It's the Battle of Minden. Can I just say, happy Minden Day to anyone who's ever served in the Minden regiments. Here's what happened at Minden, right? So Minden, August the 1st, 1759. It's why it is the day we're celebrating just victories you've had against the odds, because it's extraordinary. Here's what happened.
Go on.
It's the Seven-Year War. I'm not going to take you into the Seven-Year War too much, but it's Britain, Prussia, Portugal. Portugal, don't forget, our oldest allies, who also have St. George as their patron saint as well. Never forget that. We're up against the French, the Austrians, who are really the Austro-Hungarians, the Rusk, the Swedish, the Polish. So we're up against them. Anyway, they've got an army, about 60,000, yeah? We've got about 40,000, and we're led by the Duke of Brunswick, right? But he decided, they're on the back foot, so he decided he was going to make a stand at Minden, which is a road on the way to Hanover.
Right.
Bear in mind, our royals are the House of Hanover.
And they had how many troops? They had 60,000.
60,000. Right. We got about 45.
Okay.
And they got massive cavalry as well.
Yeah.
So the French started to push a bit. Mm. And our man, the Duke of Brunswick, he knew that even with his 45,000 men to the French, his 60,000, he still had to make a stand. He knew they were going to come. So what he did was, he made his way to just below Minden, which is a word I love. And what he did was, he just left 10,000 men just there. Just
a quarter of his men.
Just to tempt the men from their strong position.
Okay.
So in the early hours, today, 1759, August the 1st, the French began to advance because they thought there was only 10,000 guys there.
Yeah.
So you've got... The British cavalry failed to turn up, which means really back then you didn't have a chance. That's like cavalry against men on foot. That's like tanks against men on foot at any time.
Yeah.
Cavalry, that's what that represents. But what the French weren't expecting is that someone would say to the British infantry, right, attack the cavalry on foot. Now, just think how you'd feel. The men involved aren't so different to the men now.
It sounds exhausting.
It really does. You think about that. The very low battalion numbers compared to the French. Odds are stacked against
them. 6-1.
Yeah, the odds are stacked against them. So they started advancing on the French cavalry on foot. And the French cavalry, they'd never witnessed unsupported infantry advance against squadrons of cavalry. So what they did was they started moving. despite they had heavy losses, but they carried on advancing.
Yeah.
The French could do nothing. And they thought, well, we've got to charge them.
They had to engage them.
We've got to charge them. This just feels really odd. We're just going to charge these guys on foot, chasing them. So they advanced swiftly, but what they did was they waited until the horsemen were less than 10 paces away, because obviously they had the Brown Bess musket. I've fired one. It takes about a minute, and I'm inexperienced.
To get ready, yeah.
But it took me about 3 minutes to load one. It would take them about a minute, so you really only get one volley.
Right.
So they waited till the horsemen were less than 10 paces away, and then they opened up. This had a devastating effect on the French cavalry. They tried to retreat, but that was it. They're on the back foot by then. They just weren't expecting. You see, as Des Lynam said that time when England played Germany, they don't like it up them. And they were then driven back, just with the bayonet.
Wow.
Men on foot with bayonets and horses. The brutality of these battles shocking.
Unbelievable.
Shocking. Anyway, more French horsemen began to hurl themselves at our mob. But even in their wounded state, they held strong. They beat back the French cavalry. And we won the Battle of Minden. How about that?
That is an amazing story.
Yes.
That's Spartan levels.
It's Spartan levels.
Did
it really
someone
is.
Shout, this is Minden?
Yeah, this is Minden. Anyway, please, 83936, all your tales of victory. It's not going to match the lads at Minden that
glorious. No, but anything against the odds.
Yes. Here we go. Johnny had a little victory at my local Costa last week. I ordered a small coffee. I was charged for a large one and was given a large one. When I checked the receipt, they went to refund the difference, but accidentally refunded the whole amount. Ha-ha!
Wow.
We're looking for a bit bigger than that, Simon, but you get the spirit of Minden. Gav.
This one's from Scott at Scott's Footy Cards. He says, Tales of Victory, I was 100th out of 100 winners of an Asterix game on the ZX Spectrum back in the 80s. We are Minden.
Well done. From Scott's Cards to Scott's Footy Cards. Fantastic. Dr. Templeton, what do you have?
Stampsy says, my little victory is filling up the car with cheap plonk after an arduous 10-day holiday with the in-laws in France. Thanks to Daz for sharing the burden.
Thank you very much. This is Kieran. Hello, Kieran. I won tickets to see the Stone Roses in Manchester. We were at the gig too. That is a massive victory. And also, hi, Big Tej. He says Big JV, but that's what he means. While serving with the once glorious Cheshire Regiment, I was in Cyprus supporting the TA with their annual 2 weeks bounty training. A TA officer cadet called Whittaker was trying to shine in front of his peers by beasting some of the platoon. That evening, That evening, my fellow regulars invited Mr. Whittaker, the TA, for late drinks. The next day, for late drinks. I love what that means to your military.
Let's make sure he don't enjoy tomorrow.
Come
so
on,
much.
Then. You think you're bad? Anyway, the next day, during their annual fitness test, I took great pleasure in screaming at Whittaker for 1.5 miles as he flimsily crawled in the dirt. It was a great victory for the professionals. That's the 22nd Cheshire. Thank you very much indeed. Right, here's one for you. Victory successfully tempted 3 dieting colleagues with curly whirlies from my box of 48 deliveries. That is in the spirit. I do know something. I love a curly whirly. I know some people would argue a chomp is just curly whirly in its pure form.
Right.
But for me, the curly whirly is the ranking. It's the ranking chewy chocolatey snack. Also, I won a disco dancing competition held at Skindle's in Maidenhead, and it was judged by Shack Attack. Wow! I was 9. It was 1980. Believe me,
who's Shack Attack?
It's a band, Shack Attack.
What?
Never heard of them.
He did the moonwalk before Michael Jackson.
No, you're getting involved with Shalimar. Like a low-rent version of them, but I still quite like them. I was 9. It was 1980. That's like the heyday. Shack Attack were massive then. I won a white vinyl 12-inch of their hit, which I hated. Cheers, Mark from OT. Also, my most glorious of victories occurred in the Northwest Regional Subutio Championships of 1989, in which I fought my way to the giddy heights of the second round, despite some git nicking my can of pledge, leading to a crippling lack of pace for my players on an unfamiliar AstroTurf playing surface. That winning penalty I knocked into the top... I knocked in to top my group by default due to drawing every game and being in the short group from which everyone qualified. Still fills me with a typically British sense of heroic failure. No win in sight, but a pledgeless draw is a win, particularly at that level. From Chris, currently figuring out ways to look busy until the end of a shift at 6 o'clock. You don't have to. Just nod a lot and listen to the 4 till 7 thing. Thank you very much indeed. Gav, you've got one for us.
Hi, TJ and the gang. I may have a bigger victory, but over a common enemy.
Go on, then.
Just received £1,400 tax rebate from HMRC. Feeling pretty minden about it.
I bet you are.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. How about this? Hey, TJ, filled my McDonald's coffee card today. I love a free flat white. Massive victory. Scott from Stoke. Thank you very much indeed. Scott from Stoke. Keep your victories coming in. 83936 or Out Radio X. Incidentally, so many of you text you and say, John, what's that very catchy tune in the background? Is that something that's going to join the playlist? That's The Farmer's Boy, which is the regimental song of the Royal Hampshire's Royal Hampshire Regiment, the Hamps, they've now gone, actually. They're part of the Princess of Wales's regiments, a group of infantry regiments that all joined together. But that's The Farmer's Boy, their regimental theme. So I hope you're enjoying that. If you're having a barbecue today, don't tell any French neighbours. They might be a bit offended by that.
Radio X.
We've got the Department of Petty Rage coming up. If there's a Department of Enormous Delight,
yes.
Sunter, an event has happened that's right on our radar. Tell them.
William Shatner,
yes,
is doing a mini tour of the UK next year. And it's a night with William Shatner plus a screening of the classic Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Which has got one of my favourite lines in that.
What?
You're in the Klingons. They're about to take the Starship Enterprise.
Uh-huh.
And you've got this brilliant dialogue between the Klingons. And one of them goes, he goes, but Captain, there are 1,500 of them. There are only 90 of us. And he looks at him and goes, we are Klingons.
And, that's enough.
No, but it's the line that me and the lads always use. If anyone back down from a challenge, they're going, we can't go, that's just... Thousands of we are Klingons. If anyone ever slightly bottled something or wasn't quite up for a challenge, yeah,
not
go
only
on.
Are tickets on sale this week, but there's a limited number of VIP tickets,
yes,
including premium seating and photo opportunities.
No. For how long, Mr. Spock? For how long?
Shall we go,
Mr. Solo? Yes, definitely.
Show night out.
Shall we go? Yes.
Shatner.
Sumter. It's a good idea to go. We've got the Department of Petty Rage next.
At the Bank of Antandek, they're looking for a mascot.
We need an icon. Something that says high fly into all our mortgage customers.
Like a falcon or a stallion.
Or even better, a parrot. Check it out.
Meanwhile, at Santander, they're concentrating on helping customers find ways to take years off their mortgage with their overpayment calculator. See what's possible at Santander.
All applications are subject to status and our lending criteria. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
This makes me mad, okay, as we move into the Department of Petty Rage. Text has just come in. If you move the screen a bit closer... Joe, I was just talking about we are Klingons. Someone says, Johnny, there were no Klingons in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, except at the start with the Kobayashi Maru simulation. The quote you gave came from Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, Stephen Croydon. I can see why you think that, Steve. A lot of people make that misunderstanding, but I think you find it is in it's in the one I said. No, it is. Wow. Isn't it? I think it is.
Yeah,
well, so you're definitely... styling it out.
Yeah.
No, it is. I think you find out. It's
Steve, just look it up.
Just look it up. It might appear that way, Steve.
Yeah.
But I think you're probably wrong there. I think I know a little bit more about this. Judging by your text, I know a little bit more about this than you.
Right.
I love it when Trekkie meets, when you get Trekkie fans around the West End and they bump into Matrix fans.
Oh, man.
And you can just sense a bit of a...
It's like the Warriors.
Yeah, I was once... Yeah, anyway, look, do you know what am I doing? I discovered that Gavin and I share a petty rage problem. We both really hate slightly wobbly tables. Gavin is now my petty rage partner. Hello, Gav.
Hi.
To help other petty ragers, we've opened a special office right here at Global Towers. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Department of Petty... Rage! We're compiling a database of petty rage with the aim of finding people their petty rage partner. Last time we found this is a long time ago. So we haven't. Why haven't we done this for ages? What's weird is I was thinking about it on Monday, and you had one lined up, which is quite was unusual. Unusual in that, you know. Last time we found that Martin had a petty rage partner in Ali. They both hate people who spin bags to close them.
Oh, man. Sweet shop.
It could be that, or it could mean twizzle them like that. Here we go. 83936. What's your petty rage problem? We've got someone on the line now. Let's meet them. Hello, Department of Petty Rage. What's your name and petty rage problem?
Hi there, guys. My name's Luke, and I cannot stand mismatched tyres on the rear axle of the car in front of me. Absolutely grinds my gears.
Okay. So, the tread's different or different makes?
Well, either, to be honest with you. You know, you're supposed to replace tyres at the same time across the rear axle, and if I'm sat in traffic, I can't help. I look at the car, and I'm looking, I see a different tread pattern, and I will instantly judge that driver to be a complete maniac and a danger to society.
Okay.
They're insane, aren't they, Luke?
Absolutely. It doesn't matter. It could be a doctor, judge, could be a nun sat in that car. To me, they are a reckless dispatched.
Sure. Washed up psycho.
Hey, you said they must be dispatched.
Yeah, at the earliest opportunity. Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a petty rage who wants to take down nuns.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Luke. I take down nuns.
Yeah.
When did you first get this? When did you first feel the rage?
It's been going on for some years, to be honest with you, and I've really suppressed it deep down inside. But the more and more I commute and I just see it, and it's really starting to take its toll on my day to day.
Yeah. And what do you do then? Obviously, you can't take down the nun or the judge.
Yeah.
So what do you do? How do you get rid of the rage? How do you vent?
Well, so what I will do is I will, at the earliest opportunity, I will naturally overtake them in, if we're being kind, I would best describe it as ambitious.
Okay.
And I like to think they know precisely what's going on. And I like to think they will instantly abandon whichever destination they're going to and head straight to the nearest garage to rectify the situation.
I'm just saying, sometimes you can indicate people's headlights aren't on. Or you can indicate someone's boot is open.
Yeah, but tyre branding.
But showing that there isn't... I mean, maybe we should think of a hand gesture, which means your tyres... aren't balanced. You've got to sort that out. I wonder how you do that.
It's surprising because tyre centres never let you leave without buying the pair.
Yeah, well, no, normally all four because all four
are taken. It's all got to get
trackings out. Yeah.
Balance.
So what would be your sort of gesture? What do you use? Just give them the single finger sticking up.
Yeah, I mean, not if it's in down, obviously. Okay, I think you've got to cut them a little bit.
Well, you're too busy taking them down.
What
would be a gesture? Do we think 83936? Just a gesture to indicate. Sunta's saying she's wearing a finger round, I don't know.
Like a circle.
Okay, like a tyre circle, but that...
Yeah.
I don't know, that wouldn't say to me they're mismatched. Luke, there was a time when by law, you couldn't mix cross-ply and radial on the same axis.
The glory days.
Okay, here we go. 83936. Sunta will be your caseworker today. Time Luke sees us the glory days.
Just the word crossplay.
Fantastic. Crossplay on radio. 83936. There used to be an advert even on the telly that just says, worn tyres spell danger.
Yeah.
Which is great. 83936. Let's see if we can find Luke a petty rage partner or if you've got another petty rage problem, text and let us know. Luke, Sunta is going to be your caseworker today. Say hello, Suns.
Hi.
Hi, Sunta.
Okay, so she's going to be working on your case, finding you a petty rage partner. Gav, what's come in, baby?
Gaz in Preston says, even though I am a roof box owner myself, I cannot stand a roof box mounted on a roof that is anything but central to the car. To the left or right is unacceptable, not to mention it changing the centre of gravity. Muppets, Gaz. There's another one here, number ending 875.
Symmetry freaks.
TJ, my petty rage is gym goers who sit on a piece of equipment and then just stare at it for 5 minutes before even doing one rep of even the lowest weight.
Well, I don't use, I just use free weights, so it doesn't, that wouldn't happen to P45. There aren't any machines there at all, none. Sure. If we had, I don't know what, I think we just all, we might stand and laugh at it, or I might use it to sit down maybe when I'm injecting, something like that. Because no one would be on it, so it would be a good place, maybe, I don't know, maybe we could just look at it and just laugh and,
yeah,
I don't know, something crazy we could do, something funny and cool.
Sure.
Dr. Templeton, what else you got?
Well, I've been looking into Luke's case today. Luke is enraged by mismatched tyres on the rear axle of the car in front.
Yes. Before we speak to him, can I just say, we've had loads of people coming in with good hand gestures for this.
Right. To indicate to the driver that they've done this.
Yes. Carry a spare trainer and hold it up and point at the sole.
That's good. That's Andrew.
That's Andrew in Barton Le Clay. Quite complex.
And Mark in St. Helens. Have you seen his one there?
What's just Mark in St. Helens?
Mark in St. Helens suggests a circular shape with the index finger, then wag the finger, shake your head, and look displeased.
Which I really like. Someone also has said about earlier when I was talking about we are Klingons, in which is the quote in The Wrath of Khan. Star Trek 2. But Steve's come back, who advised me it was actually Star Trek 3. He's now said, Johnny, you're wrong there.
Yeah.
It's definitely Star Trek 3 where the Klingons go mad. This is now becoming oversized petty rage on Klingons. I'm the expert. Steve, expertise generally involves I think you're getting it wrong there consistently now. I'm not trying to wind you up or anything, but I know it's too. I know it is. I'm going to go home and watch your video. I know you're wrong. Sorry, sons. Carry on.
So, quite a lot of support for Luke coming in.
Is there?
Should I remind you that Luke finds it unacceptable people have mismatched tyres on the rear?
You can reset that if you want. Your regular producer's pet.
Number ending 438 says, absolutely right, it's completely unacceptable.
Wow.
I'm annoyed just thinking about it. And number ending 773 says, totally agree. It does my head in. It's even worse when one side is a premium brand and the other is budget. And we should have a potential partner on the phone now. Line 2, are you there?
Hi, my name's Henry and I am Luke's petty rage partner.
Hey! All good. Henry, when did this...
Hi, Johnny.
Hello there, Henry. When did you first realise this crime against symmetry kind of really rankled?
Oh, pretty much since I started driving, Johnny, but it's not just rear axle, it's front axle, it's tread imbalance, it's everything. It just, yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. Luke's going to love you, an aristocrat.
You have to say these things quite nasally, Johnny, as well. Like, oh, you know, tread difference and that sort of stuff. Yeah,
no, you don't, Dan. You have to Nigel it a bit.
You don't. Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know why it's Nathan. It's much more. Hello, it's Nigel here. I'd just like to. So what's your reaction then when you're raging? How do you let the person know that they've incurred your displeasure?
Well, I've been thinking about this. I'm thinking perhaps maybe just carry one of those little, you know, you get those little tire tread depth measurers, and you just wave that out the window and just perhaps gesture with that they're perhaps a little bit
okay, well, listen,
something along those lines.
Without further ado, Henry, meet Luke. Luke, meet Henry. Luke, are you there?
Yeah, sure I am. Hi, Henry. How you doing?
Hello, Luke. I'm good. You?
Yeah, Luke was just...
I'm relieved.
You're really relieved. Your petty rage part is a nice feeling. I've got to tell you, we've got enough out there for more than that. You could form a very strong psychological crowd.
I think so,
So what
Absolutely.
Do you think, Luke, what do you think if Henry wanted to actually carry a tread measure around?
Well, I've always got one in my glove box, naturally, and I think it's an excellent
good man.
Because, you know, I only use it a few times a year. Fantastic. I can get more value out of that. I'm just so relieved, because as I was explaining it and really verbalising it for the first time, I was honestly going to second myself. I was thinking there's no way anyone's going to be...
I'm going to leave them with that one. There's just they'll be going on. I can tell you something there. They've more. That's like soulmates.
Friends for life.
They're that so really, happy. Yeah.
No, but as soon as you said "good man," man, it's one of those beautiful moments.
Tread measure in the glove box.
Clip that because I've got a good man. Radio X. I was just looking in the paper, and you know I love things the church gets up to try and make it more popular. Yeah. And you sort of think, well, you try religion, you know?
Yeah.
Try that. You could try that. I mean, sometimes I do look at the church and I look at their activities in the past. I think to myself, one day someone should actually base a religion on the teachings of Christ.
That's right. It would be great, wouldn't it?
I know. Yeah, you're right.
Wouldn't that be an amazing revolution?
This is my message, as it has been from the beginning. Love one another. Yeah. And as I always say, how can you mess that up?
It's quite simple. It's quite simple. Yeah.
Hand it to the church. Yeah. Well, anyway, what they're doing now, they've got another great campaign. And I always love their attempts to bring young people in. Because I always wonder, why is there old people in church? Well, I'll tell you exactly why, yeah? Because they're getting nearer the pearly gates. That's why.
Prioritizes.
Yeah, tell you,
priorities exactly, are crystallizing. Yeah, yeah.
Selfishness. Yeah. They're thinking.
They want to get on the list.
Right, right, right. There's no atheists in heaven.
No.
That's the only.
If your name's not down, you're not coming in, says
St.
Peter.
And you can quote me on that. It's the only theological certainty. There are no atheists in heaven. Are we ready for this, guys? This is the latest thing. This is at Rochester Cathedral. Now, Rochester Cathedral is quite a special cathedral. Founded in 604.
604.
Yeah, but it would have been like a shack.
That's over 20 years old, John.
Yeah. So it survived the Norman Conquest.
Wow.
Which isn't actually such a big deal.
No.
I mean, it's not like they had...
The whole country wasn't raised to the ground.
Bombing.
No.
The Norman bombers. Although, the sort of thing...
Carpet trebucheting.
It's the sort of thing that Trump would say.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
survived the bombing raids by the Normans.
The Viking B-52s.
Yeah, yeah. The Viking nukes. Anyway, so, it survived that... It's had some big historical moments. For instance, St. John Fisher was killed there by Henry VIII.
Right.
Or something. Anyway, so you got Rochester Cathedral. Mm-hmm. They want to get young people in, which is always what they want to target. Just give up on the young. You'll get them later on, honestly.
Yeah.
Wait till they've got like...
Wait till they need you.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. The moment they've got no concept of it. You've got to get nearer.
Yeah.
As I always say, life is like those machines that... You know, push.
The cascade
machine. Yeah, you just gradually...
You just get near the edge.
And right at the bottom...
You get religion.
Yes. You know, it's like moving through radio stations, isn't it?
Or now, falling into the abyss.
Yes,
think.
Yes, right. before you tip off the edge. No.
Retreating to your grave, tooth by tooth.
Exactly right. You've got that last rung there, which I like to call classic FM. And no, I'm only kidding. It's gold. And then, boom. Anyway, what they're doing is a cathedral hopes to tee up a younger congregation. They put a crazy golf course in the cathedral.
What?
Yeah, there
well,
it is.
Inside it?
Rochester Cathedral. There it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, it really is inside.
No, but it really is very big inside.
Yes, it's big inside. It's the whole cathedral. They said it's a free course. It's in place for a month. It features a series of bridges. Because it's about building bridges.
Right.
But what I like about this, you can imagine, is that sort of vicar thing, you know, and they sort of go, I was watching the football the other day, and I thought, how like yeah. the like, kingdom of
this
heaven
this
game is. Yes. And I said to my son, because sometimes the referee doesn't see all, that he is not like God, who sees all our things. And while justice may not be had on the pitch, one hopes that Gary Lineker, afterwards in the Match of the Day studios, may see the error of the player. You know, that sort
so
of...
So do you think he's going to interrupt kids who are playing crazy golf to say, have you ever thought about Jesus' message?
Yeah, yeah.
And while
Jesus...
they're trying to play a shot?
Yes. Yeah, right. Never talk in the backswing. No. Don't start preaching in the backswing. You know what I'm saying? This is Rochester, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you been to Rochester?
No.
It's rough.
Oh. Is it?
Yeah, with all respect, yeah.
Wow.
I mean... If I was them, I'd be trying
As churches go, it's one of the rough ones.
You know, it's one of the places I'd really try and keep the young away from churches.
Right.
I'm not just... It's a place where you don't want the young. I mean, principally, if you want the young in Rochester, you must just give it to Mike Ashley. I'm not kidding. Just turn into a Sports Direct. Seriously. If you really want to get the young in there... I mean, crazy golf isn't modern.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
This is a new era of diplomacy, which I absolutely love. And we've never thought about going this way. You know, if your country does something unacceptable, right, you think we better cop to it because this is
going
to be... Well, the Russians have ushered in a new era of just feeble excuses. The feeble excuse.
No, it's almost like a wind-up, isn't it? Go
yes.
on.
Yes. Yeah. A mysterious, I didn't know this, a mysterious radioactive cloud that spread around the world in autumn 2017 originated at a nuclear facility in the Urals and most probably involved a fire or explosion. scientists have said. Now, I say, having watched Chernobyl,
yeah,
you know, I've really joined the nuclear power nine danker.
Yeah.
Because you have to say, could it go wrong? Well, it could, because let's not bother.
Yeah.
As soon as you go, that's it.
Oh, no, but it's a bit like, but what if someone hacks it? Yeah, well, no, that would be it. It's like, no, let's not do it then.
Yeah, well, it's Death Star syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah.
If there's a hole you can shoot.
Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah, I did.
Did you hear what
he
just said?
Very good.
Let's just clap the wood beneath. Just before I give you the payoff for this, that was beautiful with Death
Thank
Star
so
syndrome.
Much,
I really
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, why leave it?
Yeah, why not
we'll
have
just,
the hole
we'll
there?
We'll just leave one. Or Achilles' heel, Gavin.
The size of a womp rat.
Yes. Or the god. Yeah, right. The god that dipped Achilles into the stream.
Yes.
And held him by the ankle. Which meant the water from that stream, from whatever river it was, didn't protect him.
Right.
They didn't think of it. No, he won't be shot. No, he won't be shot in the ankle. Which is a sort of early example. But Gav, but the Russians, I didn't realise they gave this as their excuse.
What did they say?
They said, no, the nuclear cloud was caused by a combination, a satellite burnt, and there was a rather rare meteorological event. It's the way forward.
It was a pocket dial.
Yeah, right.
I didn't mean it.
Yeah. Guys, the woodman earning his corn there. Did you hear that?
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. I love that. Radio X. That was our podcast. Please tell a friend about it. Rate and review. Don't forget to listen to the show. That's important, is it, Gavin?
Very, very important.
It is very important, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, you said two verys there. I'd almost gone more. And I'd have used that very that only posh people say, which is the one that's spelled V-E-double-D-Y. Veddy.
Veddy, veddy.
It's very, very, very important. Weekdays from 4 till 7 on your Radio X. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. And someone seems to deal with that. Thank you very much. Radio X.